How many here are familiar with the hit reality TV show Survivor? There was a plot twist introduced in the 22nd season of that show. Hard to believe it's been as many years as it has. They introduced the concept of Redemption Island. Members voted out are sent to an island to fend for themselves for a while, but then have an opportunity to battle their way back into the game through duels between voted out members. There were two points at which a member could return to the game. One when they merged separate tribes into one collective group. The other when they reached the final four contestants, thus increasing it back up to a final five. Those who went through this ordeal experienced multiple challenges in a single sequence. First, they were voted out of the game in the first place, indicating their lack of popularity with the other players. Second, they had to survive on their own in a camp with very minimal provisions. Upon returning for the duel, they had to best an opponent with the same stakes involved. Then, even when winning enough to make it back into the game, they had to reestablish enough credibility with the rest that they wouldn't be voted right back out again. That's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, with a very real chance of no reward in return. Yet the players involved, desperate to stay in the game, went through it to keep their hope alive. Now compare this example with today's scripture. We hear about Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't exactly the kind of guy you'd want to hang out with for dinner. He was a tax collector. Now, if we're not certain today what that really meant, let me share you the plight of a friend of mine, and I share this with her permission. Emmy Sander is a minister currently based in the state of Maine. And Emmy recently received a warrant from the state of Pennsylvania seeking unpaid taxes from the year 2009. Now, there's one problem with all of this. Emmy Sander did not live in the state of Pennsylvania in 2009. There was no reason for these taxes to be assessed to begin with. But it leaves her with a very difficult decision to make. On one hand, she could plead guilty, pay a fine of a certain amount, and move on. Close it out and be done with the issue for good. On the other, she could fight it, defending her innocence, but certainly expend far more money than the fine they're trying to levy, and still have no guarantee that justice would win out. The process itself is unjust, unfair, and unreasonable. Still wonder why tax collectors are seen in the poorest light? Through all of this, something told Zacchaeus he needed to see Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus, it says, was small in stature. Now, in part, that could be a physical attribute. In part, it could be somebody who is hiding from the crowd, knowing full well they're not going to be appreciated by the masses. But Jesus spotted Zacchaeus and called to him. When he came down, Zacchaeus offered to make things right. And through that process, Jesus revealed Zacchaeus' salvation. So what steps kind of happened in this process on a road to redemption? Well, it started with the individual wanting salvation. It starts with the sinner wanting something better. Until that happens, not much changes. But once somebody does want it, it begins with a calling out to the sinner to come closer and hear an important message. The one who wants salvation then needs to accept that call and respond to it, needs to offer some form of restoration for the wrongs that they've done, and then when redemption is offered, needs to accept that redemption. Zacchaeus did not deserve redemption or salvation based on his behavior. But there it was anyway. Unlike Survivor, redemption isn't earned through duels or actions. It's given freely through the salvation of Jesus Christ. In the months that I've been here, I've looked at why we're here. What is the purpose of South Killingly Congregational Church? And it's becoming clear to me that this church can focus on becoming a redeeming church. In a way, this church is Redemption Island. We're here at times feeling isolated and lost. We're here at times asking ourselves, what do we have to do to be redeemed and be returned as part of the flock? Our focus needs to be simple, clear, and aligned with God's purpose for us here and now. So what do we do? Well, first, we spot the sinners. They're going to be short in stature. They're likely hiding from their own guilt and shame. They are mothers and fathers. They are brothers and sisters. They are children and cousins. We know who they are. We see them every day. So once we see them, we need to call out to them. We need to welcome them, invite them, and give them hope, the same hope we each find in the cross. We need to guide them to a changed path. Make it easy for them to come to church. Make it attractive enough that they want to come. Show them peace and love that can only be found here. If they don't know how they're going to get here, drive them here. Think about bringing your one next week, your one person that you've spotted and identified that you'd like to share with. All of us should commit to this now. Bring one person next week. And when we do, affirm their salvation in Christ. Celebrate their new life in Christ. Be grateful that they're here. Be patient as they find their way. Be loving and generous in giving support to their path. To do all this, we need to reach out. If we can get through the bridge between spotting the sinner and calling to them, the rest will happen. And look, I know this isn't easy. It's not easy for me. And I'm sure it's not easy for many of you. When things are challenging, I always look for some way to turn things into a series of steps, a process that can be followed. It makes it easier to get it started. Let's think about the motivation first. Who here would not want to see others we care joining us here? Sharing in the hope and the delight of a glorious message. We can start by using some information shared by an author, David Cannella, on the site existencechurch.com. Talked about three different groups of people to invite to church. The first are those who are already close to you. Those you see every day, those you see on a regular basis. Show them you care for them and invite them to come to church the same way you would to a Patriots game or a movie or a dinner out. The same way you'd ask them to come out for an enjoyable evening together, doing something that is pleasurable. Mention how you have a good time here with great people, and you know they will too. So come on along for the ride. Next, he talks about the people who you know, but you aren't necessarily close to. These might be colleagues, people you knew from the workplace, or people that you run into on a regular basis in stores or shops that you deal with. In this case, you can be fairly light and casual about it. You can say, you know, I'm thinking you'd really love to see what things are about here on a Sunday. It's okay if you can't make it, but I'd really be remiss if I didn't invite you to come and make sure you know you're welcome. Finally, there's the group of people we don't know. The people we encounter in public places and supermarkets and restaurants and coffee shops and other public gathering places. But for whatever reason, a conversation strikes up. Maybe they commented on something you're wearing, or they see you with somebody that that they know. When that happens, you can simply ask, "So, where do you go to church?" Their answer will tell you everything you need to know. Certainly, if they are already a person of faith, they're going to share that information with you. If they are somebody who is not interested at all in the conversation, they will make that pretty clear too. But then there's all those people in between, those people who are looking for something but not quite sure what they're looking for, and they might ask, "Why do you ask?" And when they do, you can loop that back and share the fact that you know a place that's very special, that has a lot of good to offer, and you want to make sure they know about it. Let's set a goal for ourselves that over the next 12 months, each one of us will invite at least 4 new people to join us here and experience what we're experiencing ourselves. Spot them, call to them, guide them, and affirm them. Because this Redemption Island is an oasis from pain and suffering, from toil and struggle. It's a place of hope and a place of promise. Why wouldn't we offer that to all we come in contact with? Amen.